Okay, everyone, I think we might make a start. So welcome to Ralph Stevens' session on remaining life expectancy and retirement age and pension age. Just to introduce you to Ralph, Ralph's a lecturer at the School of Actuarial Studies, Australian Business School, Uni, New South Wales. He got his PhD in econometrics at Tilburg University. He obtained his master's degree in quantitative finance and actuarial science and his bachelor's degree in econometrics and operations research at Tilburg University. He's also a research fellow of the Network for Studies on Pensions, Ageing and Retirement. His main research focus is on pensions and superannuation, systemic longevity risk and insurance solvency and capital requirements. Now, what you don't know about Ralph is, you will know soon, he's from Holland because he does have an accent. And he also plays basketball. And I did ask Ralph, I said, Ralph, tell me something that no one knows about you. And he said he wanted to keep it that way. So I haven't got anything to tell you. So just a reminder that phone's off. Ralph's happy to take questions as he goes. So just ask questions. Come to the microphone, introduce yourself if you can. That'd be good. And we look forward to the session. Thanks, Ralph. Yeah,
thank you for your nice introduction. So let me start with advertising something about the Centre of Pension and Superannuation. So in July 14th and 15th, we've got our annual colloquium. And as you're all in this audience, you might be interested in that. So the registration of that will be opening soon. So if you want to come to that, you will all be invited. And also, we are starting a research group at the Centre for Pension and Superannuation. So if you're interested in joining that, please come to me after the session. So where I'm going to talk about, well, it's a very long title, but the idea came to me from the pension discussion in the Netherlands, where I was until last October. And there's a discussion, well, should we increase retirement age and how should we do that? And you hear all kinds of arguments, and one of the arguments is, well, since the retirement age has been implemented, we all live like 7 years longer, so we should be also working like 7 years longer. Well, is that then a good policy, or are there other kinds of policies? And, well, what you nowadays see is that countries are implementing some changes. So in the next 10 years, we annually increase the retirement age with one month per year or something like that. But is that something you can do systematically? So adjust the retirement age to changes in life expectancy. And how will that affect the retirement age? So that's what I had in mind. So where are we looking at? Well, we are looking at full retirement age. And what do I mean with full retirement age? Well, that's a term which is used in the US. And that's the age at which you can claim then full pension benefits from the state pension. And you can then choose by yourself whether you want to retire earlier at an actuarial fair rate or later. So I'm not going to say we should all retire at this or that age, but we are going to look at policies to set for the full retirement age. And then an individual can choose what he, given his preferences, then would optimally do. But we are not going to say anything about that. So if we are going to change the retirement age, this will have an effect. Well, first of all, at the moment of when you're going to retire, but it will also have, of course, an effect on the number of years you are in retirement, and it will have an effect on how much uncertainty is there for a pension fund or something like that. So the idea is to describe some policies and to look what's the difference in the different policies, and then, well, this policy can be then implemented, for instance, by a government, but also DB pension plans or annuity providers can adopt then this in their policies. So also in DB's pension schemes, this can be of interest. So what's the agenda of my talk? First, a brief introduction, then go to the model without any equations, so pure intuitively. Then we are going to look, well, what are the results of the different policies on the evolutions of the retirement age in the future? How would that evolve and how much uncertainty is around there? What happens with the number of years we are going to be in retirement and how much uncertainty is around there? Then we are going to look at the liabilities. So do the liabilities, the expected value of the liabilities, increase over time, or do they stay constant, or are they decreasing for different policies, and how much uncertainty is around there? So that's the plan of my talk. So the introduction, well, we all know that life expectancy has increased over the past centuries, and it has increased throughout the whole Western world. So, for example, some figures about the US. In 1950, the life expectancy there for the general population at birth was 68.2 years, whereas it has increased up to 77.7 years, which means that approximately almost we have an increase of 2 years per decade in life expectancy at birth. So instead of becoming 10 years older, in 10 years you become 8 years older. So that's good news. But if you're looking at pensions, what's of more interest is the life expectancy at retirement. So perhaps this is due to this life expectancy at birth is due to lower mortality at birth, and that you don't want to include. But even then, there's a large increase in life expectancy, so from 14 years up to 18 and a half years, so that's almost 1 year per decade. And we've seen that in the past decades, this increase has been faster than in the earlier decades. So if life expectancy increases, well, that's also healthy life expectancy increases, which is important if you want to increase the retirement age. Are we healthy enough to increase retirement age? And there it depends on what are the measures you use to measure health. So there are measures where you look at what is the first day that someone is has a disease. And if you use that measure, then the healthy life expectancy decreases. Now, why is that the case? Well, that's the case because we are we have checkups and we see what kind of illness someone has, and we see that before it really offsets the illness, and we can do something about that. But this person is not able to work, but he can still work. So you can have different kinds of expression what's healthy life expectancy, but in general we can say, well, the healthy life expectancy has increased over time, but it's very difficult to measure how much this increase is. So then to longevity risk. Well, if you ask an actuary what's longevity risk, well, it's a risk that we live too long. So if we look at annuities or defined benefits or state pension or any kind of products where the payment depends on the number of years an individual survives, then if we keep living longer, that's a risk for the one who is issuing this product. But also an individual has this longevity risk. So if I'm going to save for retirement and don't know how many years I will be in retirement, what my life expectancy will be, then I don't know how much money I should save up to retirement. So also as an individual, I've got some longevity risk. So both for insurers, as the state, as individuals, they all have longevity risk. But, you know, that's the actuarial point of view. If you talk to people on the street, they say, well, how can living longer be a risk? It's something good. So if we live longer, and especially if we live longer in good health, well, how can that be a bad thing? It's something good. So we should want to all live longer and live longer in good health. So that's something you would combine the good thing and the bad thing and then come out with something which on average is still positive. And a problem with longevity risk is that there is no market price. So you cannot sell as an old person your longevity risk to a young person because, well, we don't know at which price they would be willing to sell and buy. So how to divide this systematic longevity risk between generations in a fair way, it's very difficult. So what's the idea of the paper and the presentation? So the idea is to combine the good and the bad thing of living longer. And if we live longer, now what are we able to do? Well, we can work longer, or we can have more years in retirement, or we can combine that, live longer, work longer, and earning more in your lifetime, and have more years in retirement. So that's what we are looking at. So which kind of risks do we have? Well, if you set some optimal retirement age, then this optimal retirement age will depend on the life expectancy. And so what we know is that life expectancy on average will probably increase in the future, but we don't know how much exactly it will increase. And when we set the retirement age, then you take into account what the expected increase will be. But this expected increase, it may be that after you retire and there is some bad shock to the health, to the mortality, and you don't live as long as that you have expected. So both the retirement age will then be uncertain, but also the future number of years you will live in retirement at the moment that you are going to retire is uncertain. So this uncertainty is large, and well, what's the influence of this uncertainty? So what do we want to do? Well, we want to investigate how we should adjust the retirement age to changes in life expectancy. And we want to see what's the effect of different policies to changes in life expectancy on the retirement age, the number of years in retirement, the pension value, and how much longevity risk is there. So that was the introduction. Then to, well, what's the model? Well, first start with the different policies we are going to investigate. Well, the first policy is quite simple. We set just the retirement age at 66, and we will keep that also in the future, irrespectively of changes in life expectancy. Well, this may not be something that would be sustainable. So another thing is, well, if we have an increase in life expectancy, then this increase in life expectancy, we can fully contribute that to the number of years you are working. So if you have an increase in life expectancy at retirement, if the life expectancy at retirement is now, say, 16 years, then we keep that up. Then we keep that at 16 years. So if next year we have an increase of life expectancy of 1 year, you are going to work 1 year longer and still have 16 years in retirement. Well, maybe that's not something we want, to work that long. Maybe a more reasonable thing is to keep the division of your lifetime which you work and the division in which you are retired, or the division between working and leisure, to keep that constant across generations. So that's something you can look at. So the number of working years should be relative to the retired years, should then be constant. And we've got different cost schemes. So how can you look at it? Well, you can look at it from a pay-as-you-go perspective, where the current individuals are paying for the current retirees, and that will keep on, and the cost the current workers are going to pay, that will stay equal over time. And what we did here is we had a constant number of 25 years old over the whole simulations, so that there's no effect from a large population at one age than at another age. So it's only the effect of mortality that kicks in there. But another thing is, well, you might save yourself. And if you save yourself, if you are saving something at the age of 25, then you got like 40 years of returns up to retirement. And if you live then 1 year longer, but you are going to live 1 year longer, say at the age of 90, then it's different than that you're living 1 year longer at the age of 65, because you've got 30 years of returns there. So there, the returns kick in, and, well, if you're living longer at the end of your life, that's less important, less costly than if you're living longer just after retirement. And the final one is a constant cost in a DB scheme, where the difference between the DB scheme and the individual savings scheme is that before retirement you've got mortality credits. So if you die, if you've got a population in this DB scheme and part of this population probably dies before the retirement age, then the money they contribute to the DB scheme will go to the other members of the DB scheme. After retirement age, this will also be the case of the DB scheme, but the way we set it up here is we look at the actuarial fair value of every year $1. So that isn't included in what's the measure of the liabilities. So then we have to make forecasts about the future survival probabilities. And how did we do that? Well, we included process and parameter risk. So what's process risk? Well, you can see that is, for instance, in 1 year you invent a cure for cancer. So that would keep mortality probabilities lower, but it's only a 1 year of event. Besides that, we've got also parameter risk. What's the parameter risk? Well, we know that in expectation, mortality rates decreases over time, but we don't know for sure how much the decrease is. So it can be more flat or steeper decrease, and we don't know what's the real value of the decrease on average over time. And we've got the Likert model, which is widely used, but we know that the Likert model isn't the correct model, it's a simplification of the true world. So we also include model risk in there. So what did we do? We didn't only use the Likert model to make forecasts but also the Cranes-Blake endowed model to make forecasts of future survival probabilities. And so for these models, we estimated the parameters using data as of 1975, and that we used to make simulations of future survival probabilities. And then we've got all simulations of future survival probabilities. We also have that the government, they might want to include what the changes in future life expectancy will be. So when they set the retirement age, they can do that using the current mortality table, or they can forecast then, given the information they have at that moment, they can forecast what the evolution of the future survival probabilities will be and use this evolution of all those future survival probabilities to forecast what the life expectancy at retirement age will be. So how did we do that? Well, we used only the last 20 years of data. And why did we use only the last 20 years of data? Well, there is evidence that there's changing trends in mortality decrease. So for example, in the beginning of the 20th century, the decrease was primarily due to decreasing mortality rates at younger ages, because better hygiene and these kinds of things. Whereas as of the 1975, the decrease was more at advanced ages, for example, due to less smoking. So there are different trends in there. So we only want to keep the last 20 years. And then also the risk doesn't change, so the risk stays constant over time. We don't get more information and then better estimates. So given that as our model, what do we get out of it? Well, here we've got three figures. So if you look at the upper left one, what do we have there? Well, there we have the policy that you have a constant number of years in retirement. And we've got blue lines and black lines. And what's the difference between the blue lines and the black lines? Well, the blue lines is if you use the current table every year. So the US, you have the population data, and from that you have the mortality table, and that you use to set the retirement age. That would lead to the blue lines. And if you're going to make forecasts using the last 20 years of data and then forecast what the future life expectancy will be, then you get the black lines. So the solid lines are in the case in the median scenario. Then we've got the 50% confidence interval and the 95% confidence interval. And what you see here is that for me, which would be around here, that I have a probability for retiring at the age of 82. And of course, I'm not that happy when I have to work at until the age of 82. So maybe other policies would be better. So if you look then to the policy of a constant number of years in retirement relative to working years, and then you end up here, and you see, well, you benefit both from if you live longer, then you work longer, but you also have more time in retirement. So therefore, the increase is not that much, and you see also the uncertainty is quite smaller. And if you then look to the individual savings scheme, so you save yourself for retirement, well, how much uncertainty is around the retirement age then? And then you see that there also the uncertainty decreases, and this decrease in uncertainty is because at the advanced ages, if you didn't have an increase in life expectancy, then it's not that costly as... this is the individual saving scheme, and this is the pay-as-you-go scheme. So here the uncertainty is much smaller than here because of the advanced ages, which you don't discount here. So therefore, if we have an increase at very advanced ages, it's not that costly in an individual savings scheme relative then to a pay-as-you-go scheme. So what's the effect of model risk? Well, here we've got the DB plan without model risk and with model risk, so only the Licata model or with the Licata model. And, you see that the model risk is important and there is much more uncertainty in the forecast. And what we observe is, we see this increase, but how large is this increase? Well, this increase in life expectancy in retirement age due to increases in life expectancy is on average 1.5 to 1.5 month a year, depending on the policy. So which policy you're going to use really makes a difference in how much the increase in life expectancy, the increase in retirement age will be over the next years. Well, the retirement age can increase because we expect that the life expectancy will increase in the future, but that doesn't need to be the case. The life expectancy can also decrease. So in the different policies, we see that the probability from 1 year to another that there is a decrease in the retirement age can still be significant. That can be between 3 and 28%. So there are large deviations in the retirement age possible, which we don't like, and a decrease in retirement age we also don't like. We want to have a more gradual increase of the life expectancy. So, and what do we see? Well, for the cost schemes, because we have this return component in there, the uncertainty is much smaller than in the other schemes. So, this was the retirement age. What happens with the number of years in retirement? So, here we see the expected number of years in retirement. So, at the moment that you're going to retire, this number of years that you are going to be in retirement is a random variable, but also the moment that you're going to retire is a random variable. So what do we do? Well, we take the expectation at the moment that you're going to retire and then take the expectation to now, and then we look to different times in the future. Well, if we've got that the retirement age stays at 66, well, then we see that we've got many more years in retirement. If we've got a constant, if we contribute all those number of years that we expect to live longer to working years, then we see that on average this number of years in retirement stays the same. Well, why do we have this hump shape? Well, this is because we use 20 years of data to estimate the future parameters. And so if you're in the first 20 years, then you've got this last 20 years of data which you use, and you still use 1 year less, but there are changes in those data, so that's why we've got this hump shape there. And if you look then to the cost scheme, then they all have approximately the same increase, which is all relative. So it seems to be all quite well. And I guess you can sell this to the people on the street. Well, you live longer, you have to work a couple of years longer, but you can also have more years in retirement. Well, this is the expected case, but Well, we've got uncertainty. So how likely is it that you have more years in retirement? So how much longevity risk is in there? So what you can do is you can look at what's the probability that for an individual this life expectancy is lower than what the current life expectancy is. So due to so you set the retirement age, say in 5 years from now, you set that given the mortality probabilities at that time. But after that, the mortality changes are uncertain, and because they are uncertain, the life expectancy of that individual may be lower than the life expectancy we now have. So if you look at that in 5 years, then you see quite a large percentage that the remaining life expectancy at retirement is in 5 years lower than now. Well, why is that the case? Well, part of that is due to the hump shape in here from past mortality data. But also, if you look at 25 years ahead, there's still quite some significant probability across the schemes, depending on the schemes, that there will be an increase, a decrease in the number of years your actual expectation is of your retirement years relative to the number of retirement years right now. So that's something which is probably hard to sell to individuals if you want to sell such a policy. So then looking at the liabilities. So here we've got again the different liabilities with the blue line if we've got a constant retirement age, and we see that the liabilities in the future will steeply increase. So the expected liabilities will increase because we, on expectation, we are going to live longer, so that may not be sustainable. So these are the liabilities at retirement, and we see that for the different cost scheme, the liabilities increases at retirement. Well, is this a problem? Well, you know, at first sight, you think, well, this is a problem because you have to save more. But you're also going to be retiring later. So if you're retiring later, you've got extra years in which you're going to work, and you've got extra years in which you've got returns. So looking at retirement age and compare those different figures is maybe not the right way to present it, because, well, here this one is always going to retire at the age of 66, whereas this one is going to retire, say, at a given point in time at the age of 68. And so he's got 2 years more of savings and returns, so he might be able to pay this higher cost of retirement at the point he's going to retire. So maybe a better way to compare them is to look at what the liabilities will be at, say, the age of 60. So at the age of 60, the probability of going to retire at that time is negligible small. So then this effect should be taken out. And what do we see? Well, if we look to the cost scheme, then on average the increase is not that much. And, well, the constant cost increase, the constant number in the constant retirement age, for that the cost increases. And for the constant number of years in retirement, we see that the cost decreases because, well, we've got more returns. So therefore, the amount of money you should have at the age of 60 in order to have $1 every year decreases over time due to increases in life expectancy. So then, to the uncertainty, well, you can look to the uncertainty from the point of an individual. And here are the different cohorts. So after the age of 66, everyone is retired, so different policies don't matter because everyone already is retired. And then we've got the different policies, and we see that, well, here in the beginning, there's some simulation, which leads to probably to a decrease. But you see, well, if you hold a constant retirement age, then longevity risk plays a significant role. Whereas if you look at the different policies, then you see that they really reduce longevity risk for an individual. So if you live longer, then the number of years you're going to be in retirement increases, but also you're going to work longer, so that offsets each other. And so the longevity risk doesn't increase that much. And with what kind of longevity risk are you still left with? Well, you're still left with the longevity risk after retirement. So at the moment that you're going to retire, after that you cannot set the retirement age anymore. So if you then have a large increase in life expectancy, then you cannot change your number of years you are working. So this longevity risk after retirement, you're still kept with. So maybe if you're going to look at a fund, this would change because you can have too much longevity risk for the young. So if you increase the retirement age too much, then this can offset what longevity risk is for the old. So the old, you cannot do anything about it, but if you give the young more longevity risk, so they have to work longer for every year that we have an increase in life expectancy, then this offsets the longevity risk of the old. And, well, what do we see? Well, we see that the different schemes really reduces longevity risk. And we see, well, the relative years constant, so the relative years of working relative to retirement leads to the largest reduction in longevity risk for a fund. And that is, well, at first glance, you would expect that because you've got a DB fund, this DB should be the lowest one, but in fact here the young are insuring the old, which kind of leads to this lower longevity risk for the fund.
Excuse me. Oh,
it's all right.
3 minutes to go.
Yeah. So to conclude, now we've seen different policies, and that can mitigate the increase in life expectancy, and, well, this longevity risk is important in the different policies. So if you want to evaluate which kind of policy you want, then looking not only at the best estimate and how that will change over time is important, but also how much uncertainty is around there should play an important role. And, well, what do we have? We have that the realized years in retirement, this is still uncertain, and you should take that into account when setting policies. And, well, the systematic longevity risk is significantly reduced for the different policies. Yeah.
You right to take questions?
Yes.
Good. Okay. Would anyone like to start the questions? Just while you're thinking of your questions, Ralph, did you say in the Netherlands where you came from that policy is already in place, that it's changing the pension age?
No, in the Netherlands, the employees and the employers, they are still discussing what would be the way to do it. And, well, one of the things that they come up with is we've got state pension, which is for everyone who have lived for 50 years in the Netherlands, they all get the state pension. And, well, nowadays it's inflation linked, and what the employers and the employees want is to have that wage linked. So then the government plays a role, And so they still are fighting what would be the policy in which everyone would be happy. Mm-hmm. But it's something because the last years, the Actuarial Institute in the Netherlands, they made new projections about the life expectancy, and they changed their models. So the life expectancy increases with like 4 years. So that has really an impact on the value of the liabilities of pension funds. So they are worrying about that. So it's an issue in the public domain
right,
nowadays.
At the moment. Yeah. Mm.
Well, if you don't have questions, I've got some questions. do we want to work longer if we live longer? Does anyone have a comment on that? So if we live longer, would we want to work also longer? And how much would you want to work longer? Is there someone who has an idea about that?
I'll make a comment on that, Tony Boffinger. I think there's a couple of aspects to that. I think certain people probably want to work longer, and in particular, or are prepared to, and in particular, people who are in, white collar occupations. Obviously, it's easier. Somebody who's a brickie or a plumber or something like that, maybe they can't work longer. And so I guess that partly comes down to your argument about how long are you healthy and
yes,
those sorts of things. And it does raise the aspect that one of the risks of increasing age pension age is just that you begin to replace age pension with other social security benefits, be it disability or unemployment benefits or something like that.
Yes.
But I guess, I'm happy for other people to comment, but I would think generally a lot of white-collar people are happy to sort of continue working for longer, particularly if, part-time is available.
Yeah.
Ralph, is healthy life expectancy increasing at the same rate as life expectancy?
Well, that depends on which measure you're mm-hmm. using. So in a paper which I wrote with some colleagues in Rotterdam, which we investigate the compression of mobility, mm-hmm. so the relative numbers of years you live unhealthy life relative to in healthy life, and we forecasted that for Deutsche data, and what we saw there was that the probability of having a compression in this mobility was around 50%. It could either go up or go down, but then still it's relative. So if you've got an increase in life expectancy, then also the healthy life expectancy will increase, but not as fast as the unhealthy life expectancy. But that also depends on which measure you're using for healthy life expectancy.
Do you have some more questions?
I've got one. So, do we want an? So, you can increase retirement age and say, well, you can increase it with 1 month a year, and then we know for sure at which point in time we're going to retire, or do we want to have a retirement age which is uncertain? So do we want to have this uncertainty in the retirement age? Does anyone want to comment on that?
David Knox. I actually think the concept of a retirement age is out of date. I think we don't have a retirement age in Australia. We have a pension age, a state pension age. We have no retirement age. I think, as we saw in this morning's plenary session, we're going to see more and more baby boomers move gradually into retirement. So there's this going to be this whole transition into retirement. And the concept of a single retirement age, I think, is something we've got to get out of our system, because people are going to gradually move into a lifestyle that might be 2 or 3 days a week. I think the previous speaker spoke of the blue-collar workers, absolutely true. People do get worn out in some jobs by the age of 60 or 62, but they're decreasing proportion of the workforce.
Yeah.
Your earlier question was, do we want to retire later? I'd turn it around and say, do we need to retire later?
Yeah.
The want and the needs are quite different. So I actually think we need to turn the question on its head and not ask about the retirement age. We also need to recognise that people are entering the workforce later due to either education or the Gen Ys doing their own thing until they're 30 and settling down later. So if we even think of 40 years of full-time work as the normal and they're entering their workforce at 30, then 70 becomes a normal retirement age. But my comment is retirement age isn't normal.
Yeah.
David, so what about pension age? What about, because we've just had the increase, as you know.
Sure.
Do you think that pension, if you ask the same question but put pension age in there?
In the paper I wrote for CEDA a couple of years ago, as you probably know, Cathy, I suggested our pension age ought to increase with life expectancy at half the rate. In other words, as life expectancy at 65 goes up 1 year, pension age goes up half a year.
And why do you... How did you come up with this half a year?
Pragmatic.
Okay. So let me
versus science.
Look, it's a bit of a balance,
as
you were saying, and I think half is a number that people can understand.
Yeah.
You've got to give a bit, take a bit. Work a bit longer, retire a bit longer. Half was in the middle.
Yeah.
It was that scientific.
Yeah.
So to comment on that is I begin in the beginning with saying that we are looking at full retirement age on which you can get full state benefits or also then full defined benefit benefit. And then as an individual, you can choose optimally, given your preferences, what your optimal retirement age would be if you want to retire partial. That's all fine. But we still have to increase this. If you say pension age, or I use the term full retirement age, which comes from the US, from the state pension. So, but we are meaning the same. I'm not saying that everyone should retire at that age, but we should have something in place to offset this increase. And to comment on this one half, what we know as a rule of thumb is that liabilities increases with pension liabilities increase with 3% if life expectancy at 65 increases with 1 year. And from pension funds, we know if you live 1 year longer, then on average, if you work 1 year longer, then on average you get 9% higher benefits because of the late postponement and the returns and the extra you're going to pay. So if you divide 3 by 9, then you get 1/3. So that's then a rule of thumb, which in our half, 1/3 might be somewhat more sophisticated as a rule of thumb.
Darren.
Thanks, Ralph. I'm not going to ask about retirement ages because I think we should abolish retirement. But a question, there's a hell of a lot of work that's gone into this. It's quite impressive. Would you be able to back up a few slides? There was a curious dip. You referred to this dip in the number of years expected in retirement. I didn't quite understand that. Is that because you're saying life expectancy is expected to decrease in the next in that 5 to 10 year period?
No. What we did in order to come up with this is we used 20 years of data to estimate the parameters in order to set the retirement age. So if you're going to use 20 years of data, then at the beginning you use the past data. And in this past data, there has been years where the increase has been higher than in other years. And because you're using the beginning of period and the end period, if you eliminate 1 year, so you've got each year you're using 20 years of data, so in the first 20 years of forecast, the last 20 years are given. And so you've got 1 year where the increase was high. If you are going to eliminate that year because you are going to make forecast, so if the first year you eliminate and it was a high decrease in life, a high decrease in mortality rates, then if you're then using the next 20 years, then the increase in life expectancy is lower than what you would have using that 1 year instead of this forecasted 1 year.
So maybe I'll ask a question. So just getting back to that thing about whether pension age is something that, I mean, it's just had an increase, whether you think politically it'd be acceptable to have a system that's put into place where it grows up gradually, you know, like every year the Australian government actually looks at life expectancy and increases it by whatever, you know, 1 year, half a year, whatever, or does some other formula or whatever. But do you think that politically our population would accept that type of model, that it's going to just keep growing up and it's just a matter of sort of every year, you know, getting the current age, you know, promoted?
I used to work at the World Bank, and I didn't work in the area, but it's certainly the case that it's the policy for this to be institutionalised, and I understand Sweden has actually institutionalised it in its policy. So, and I think it's about 0.2, but I'm not sure. It certainly
I hear the example of Sweden often, but as far as I know, they just increased with 0.2 years
of life expectancy
increase?
Yes, the retirement age.
Okay. So, yeah, that's... But... What we now see is that politically, you've got... If you're going to change the retirement age or the pension age, then the people don't like that. Whereas if you've got a policy in place, then you don't have to justify to the public why you increased the pension age. And therefore, I think such a policy would be better than letting politicians decide whether to increase the pension age or not.
Any more questions for Ralph? Ralph, any more questions for the audience?
No.
Okay. Well, Ralph, I want you to feel better when you're 82 and still working. So we've got a bottle of wine here that you can put away until then.
Thank you.
Also, I've got to say that I subscribe to the expression that hell is a perpetual holiday. So, so there's good reasons to want to keep on working. But thanks, Ralph. That's really interesting work, and you have done a lot of work, as Darren said, on it, and it's been really interesting. So thanks for that.
Yes.
It's been a very interesting discussion. And if everyone wouldn't mind filling out a form before they leave. And thanks, Ralph.
Thank you.